So today we have chapter number 26, which tells us how I should live my day and how I should retrospect. Because we find that most of us live our life, I wouldn't say aimlessly, but without any particular focus, without any particular goal. I just get up in the morning, get ready, go to work, finish my work, come home, maybe watch TV for a while, have dinner, go to sleep. And 99% of the world lives like that. People, that's how they live. It's like the herd. Everybody is doing this, so it should be the right thing to do. It's called the herd mentality. And everybody is moving in that direction. Let me also do that. And I think having studied this literature and having thought about it, I find that there is a different way, there is a different path than what everybody has been doing. And this literature teaches us that what is my goal in life, what is my purpose. So purposeful living versus aimless living. Aimless does not mean that they don't have a goal. They have a goal maybe to be very rich or to be very successful in their business or to be a great in sports, or, you know, yeah, I mean, there are these goals which are needed in this world to progress, but after a while it gets you nowhere. Yes, you have achieved, okay, you won the gold medal, okay, you won the Super Bowl, or okay, your business became successful and you sold it for a large sum of money, or yes, but there is no permanent joy and permanent happiness. So I think following this path, at least for me, has been very productive. I still do my work. It's not that I have given up but I have cut down significantly. Because then I find lot more joy in reading a spiritual book than reading a medical journal or whatever. Because the joy is very different. You know, and so how are we to live a life, a purposeful life? So Swami Chinmayananda in this chapter has given us that one should maintain a spiritual diary. And when you go home, you can read those questions yourself. And at the end of the last chapter, there is an appendix where he actually has made a diary for us. These 20 questions, one on each line. And so I can just copy that, maybe, you know, make a copy of it and then, or even put it in my phone. And then every day, he says, check it off. But don't make it a habit that for 6 months or a year. He says, maybe do it for a month every day. And then on the 30th day, how have I done this month? And at the bottom, you can keep like a score. And then maybe take a week or two off and then again do for a month. And then maybe after 6 months, you know, take a break. So it should be a monthly reckoning. And then I also feel a year annual, where on December 31st, I can take those same questions and say, how have I done throughout this year in fulfilling the goals? It's a very beautiful questions. I will have written them here and I'll just go over a little bit, but a lot of it has been pretty well covered by Swamiji. So the first one is, how many hours did I sleep? And they say for a spiritual seeker, 6 hours of sleep is enough. People say, oh, I sleep 7 hours, 8 hours, I can't manage without it. But you can train your body to sleep less. And also as we are getting older, it becomes easier to sleep less. So 6 hours should be the goal. Initially, you may have to get up with an alarm. So they say sleep 6 hours and get up between 4:30 and 6 in the morning. Because that is said to be the Brahma, actually from 3 to 6, but 3 is too much. But 4:30 to 6 is said to be the divine time, Brahma Muhurat, from 3 to 6. And those 3 hours are perfect for meditation because the world is very silent and there is a very peaceful atmosphere. So you can very quickly connect with the totality. So sleep, so that automatically if you sleep at 10 and you get up at 4:30, you have already slept 6 or 6.5 hours. So get up early. So that should be that. What time did I sleep? What time did I get up? And how many hours did I sleep? And then it says practice concentration. Eknath Ishwaran also in his 8 steps tells that practice concentration. And concentration can be, say you're sitting in your backyard and focus on a tree or focus on a leaf. Or if you're looking at an image of the Lord, maybe it's Jesus or Buddha or Krishna or Guru Nanak. Focus on a particular aspect of the Lord. Maybe start with the whole body from toe to head, and then go to the eyes, then go to the mouth, and then just go to the smile, or just go to one eye and see the compassion. So concentrate on one, or in nature, just pick a flower or a leaf, or even an insect crawling, but just concentrate on and see the Lord's glory in this whole creation. So practice concentration, at least for a few minutes, maybe 20 minutes, half an hour, as long as you have time. Because what happens is that everybody tells you should spend more time in this. Like the spiritual person will say you should spend more time in spirituality. A dentist will say you should brush for so many minutes. You should floss for so many minutes. You can't hurry. So each one wants that my field is important. So, and we have our limited time. We have to ration it. And the physical fitness instructor will say you have to come to the gym 3 days a week. And the days you don't come, walk on the treadmill. And then I have to still work 8 hours. So everybody is making demands on us. So I'm also making a demand. But Gurudev says you don't have to practice all 20. Pick up about 15 or even 10 or 15 that you can do every day. And maybe if I can't do every day, maybe every other day or something like that. But these, I should pick up these and see which fits into my schedule. And then fourth is, before going to bed, read some good books. Books with good teachings, lives of saints. I have always mentioned, I'm so inspired when you read the lives of saints, Indian saints and Western saints, and how they faced obstacles and how strong their faith was in the Lord, and nothing could shake them. It inspires. And also reading good books like Vedanta or the Gita or in a Bible, or some good texts, good commentaries on these scriptures. Because sometimes the scriptures may be difficult, but reading good commentaries, not only reading the lives of saints and these commentaries, but get the message. What is the message we are getting from this? So go to the basic message rather than just superficially. Yeah, the life is inspiring or the teaching is inspiring, but what is the basic symbolism or the basic message? Number five is satsang. And sat means good, the truth, and sang means company. So company of truth. So company of truth can be, you know, gathering like this where we hear and listen to good talks and we discuss and talk about it. Also company of good books, company of good, you know, teachings which inspire you. And you will find that so gradually your interest will become where you will be more and more in company with such people. Like in our case, you know, over the years since we have been practicing spirituality, slowly our main company is people who come to the mission. You know, and our main socializing is what? Swamiji's talks. After that, we sit for dinner or we sit and talk. And or when we have festivals here or occasions. And yeah, we still do get invited to parties. But what I do and what we do is that we just go at the correct time. And then they have appetizers, you know, for an hour. So in 1 hour, the social time, you meet everybody. And soon as people are setting up dinner, we quietly leave. So that way you have fulfilled your social obligation in somebody's birthday or wedding or, you know, you go wish them, give them a gift, and then get out. Why do we need to stay? And Indian parties just typically go till 11 and 12 at night. Because yesterday we went to somebody's birthday, 70th birthday, and they invited us at 6, and the snacks were not served till 7:15. So we were just sitting around, and they were just, you know, offering you drinks. And so 7:15, and then we had a study group here at 8. So I said, I'm not going to stay for the dinner. So we quickly had the snacks and came here. So that's good. We met the people, met everybody, wished the birthday boy, you know, 70-year-old boy. But and I'm sure they didn't serve dinner till 9 or 10 at night. And then, you know, they probably had dancing and music. Why do we need to do that? So fulfill your, and also limit If you, there's some places you can just avoid and not go. So company of good people and company of good books, that's very important. And at the same time, avoid useless company. We'll talk about that later on. And then doing some karma yoga. Every day or at least once or twice a week, I should do some activity where I get nothing back in return. Where I should give to the society, give to the community, give wherever I can, or my family or wherever, where I'm not expecting anything back. And I think family is good, but going outside the family, what am I doing for my church, for my community, for my country, or for the earth, you know, things like conservation, avoiding pollution, reducing the carbon footprint, using less resources. So all those things. So serving the community. The seventh is japa. Japa is the chanting the name of the Lord. And one should set aside some time with the rosary. All scriptures, all religions have the rosary. Even Islam has, even Christianity has. And so take the rosary and just chant the name of the Lord with full attention. As you chant one name, move one beat, chant one name. And so what happens is it teaches you concentration and purifies your mind. And this can be a good prelude to meditation. It can lead you into meditation, or even at night before you go to sleep. This will quieten your mind and make it single pointed. And chanting the name of the Lord is a beautiful way to quieten the mind. Eighth is reading some mantras, because these Upanishad mantras have so much power in them. Things like soham, you know, I am that, or he is me. Asangoham, I am detached. Avya, aham avyaya, I am immutable. Tatvamasi, that thou art. So reading these mantras from the Upanishads, and the Upanishads have a lot of good teachings. So pick up even one Upanishad. And each of these Upanishads is a gem and takes you to the same goal. So picking up, and in our library, we have beautiful commentaries written by Swami Chinmayananda. So pick one Upanishad and just read a little bit every day. And then pick up some of the main ideas in that, especially the mantras, and memorize them. Like soham, like you meditate on soham. So something like that. Pick a mantra and meditate on it, and then make that part of your life. So one Upanishad must be read by us and in detail, and maybe read it second time, third time, till you understand it and till it becomes your own teaching. And if there's any question, you're welcome to bring it. I'll try my best to answer. Then they say not only you should read, but you should write the mantra. So suppose this particular mantra, soham or asangoham, I am detached. So you have read it, you have memorized it. Now on a page, write it 100 times. Asangoham, 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 like that. So one whole page, repeated writing with full attention and concentration will make that mantra part of your thinking and part of your subconscious. The tenth is maintaining silence. And some people, like my brother-in-law in India, he is a physician, but he takes Thursday morning off. And from time he wakes up till lunchtime, till about 12 or 1, he doesn't talk to anybody. He stays by himself in his room, doesn't go out, doesn't walk, and just stays in contemplation, in silence. Because some people, when they practice silence, then they furiously writing notes. Do this, don't do this. You know, go pick up the dishes, go make lunch, go make. Then you are not, you know, you are orally practicing silence. But if you are writing hundreds of notes to everybody, then that's not the point. The silence should not only be a oral silence, but a mental silence. My mind has to become quiet. So through the practice of silence, maybe 5-6 hours may be a lot, but maybe an hour, okay, in my house, 1 hour, I won't speak once a week or whatever, twice a week. So practicing silence where I will not speak. And maybe, like we said, just sit in your backyard and observe, concentrate on the nature, and then practice 1 hour of silence where mentally, then it's not that I'm looking and then my thought is going to work or family and all. My thought should be on the Lord or on the self, in the being in the now. And fasting, all religions give the value of fasting. People fast during Easter, or in Islam during the month of Ramadan. In Hinduism, they fast on Ekadashi, which is the 11th day. But our calendar is divided into two 15-day episode. So it's like 14 days. So it's the 11th day comes twice. So twice a month, people fast. And the fast can be as rigid or as mild as you want, but some kind of deprivation, maybe only liquids or maybe only eating fruits, you know, things like that. But fruits and nuts, but does not mean then you overstuff yourself with fruits, but then limit what you're eating. And then that during that day, I should say I'm fasting for the Lord. So my attention should not be on food. Attention should be on the Lord. And that is the idea. Otherwise, if you fast and you're thinking of food, you know, in the evening, I'm going to have dinner. What am I going to prepare? Then it's like Muslims, actually, they do it so strict. They, you know, they fast before sunrise. They have a meal. And then until the sun sets, they don't even drink water. It's so hot in Arabia and all that. Not even, and they say you're not even allowed to swallow your own saliva. Now that's quite strict. You know, I don't know if one can do that. I'm sorry?
That doesn't sound very healthy.
Healthy, but you know, but once a week or once or twice a month, fasting is very good for health.
Because fasting is good for, but I'm saying right, not having water.
Not even having water, yes, all day. But yeah, but that's, they are very strict. But at least have water, have some liquids, maybe, you know, a cup of tea or something, or a little bit of some juice or something. So fast. And then charity. How much charity have I done this month or this week or today? You know, how much? And charity can be either financial, it can be help. I go and help build a house like a Habitat for Humanity, or can be emotional. I go and spend some time with somebody who is, a lady who just lost her husband, or somebody lost their child, or somebody is very sick in the hospital or in the nursing home. So I go visit and spend my time. So charity can be either of those. And then, have I told any lies? And lies is, what is a lie? Lie is that I think something else, I say something else, and do something else. So if there's an incongruence, so one has to be very careful. And if I did lie or did deviate from the truth, even a what they call is a half lie or an innocent lie where it didn't hurt anybody, but it disturbs my mind, because so then I have to punish myself. So that's what they say. Punish yourself either by fasting. Okay, this not tomorrow whole day I won't eat, or by taking a cold shower in the morning. So things like that where your mind and body gets punished. Talking about lies, this boss asks his employee, comes to work in the morning and says, you know, do you believe in life after death? He says, yes, sir, I'm a Hindu. I believe in life after death. I believe in person is reborn after death. He says, oh, that's very good. He says, why? Why do you ask? He says, remember a week ago you told me you were going to your grandmother's funeral? He said, yeah. He said, well, when you left work yesterday, your grandmother called. He says, life after death. So be very cautious. And if I have told a lie, I should A, make amends for it if I have harmed somebody, and B, punish myself. Not, you know, vigorous punishment where I whip myself or, you know, beat myself, but some kind of control. And then same thing about angry. Did I get angry today? And whom did I get? Anger is one of the things that not only hurts another person, but hurts you more than it hurts the other person, because it repeatedly, it's like a fire. You know, they say that anger is a fire that burns you more than it burns the other person, but it burns both. And so even if there is an occasion to get angry, you say, oh, he justified the anger. Oh, he did this, that's why. The same thing can be said softly, gently, because anger is something that is very harmful to me and to the other person, because, or sometimes you don't, because other person is more powerful, your boss or somebody, and you can't get angry at him, but you keep getting angry inside. So that's causing even more harm, where you're not able to even express the anger, and that causes heart disease and other problems. So if I've gotten angry, be aware of that. Be very alert. Soon as the anger comes, that's why we teach our children, you know, before, when you get angry, before you say anything, count to 10, 1001, 1002. So the point is that be cautious, conscious of when I get angry, and control the anger, and vow not to do it again, because anger is very, very harmful. And then, as we said, satsang is the company of good. And 15th is avoiding useless company. So useless company, as we said, you know, parties where they just drink and they just talk politics, or Trump or Obama or Republican, or where they're just talking about, you know, nonsensical thing, who did what and gossip and all. So avoiding those things, useless company. And also it also can be useless books or useless TV programs. And now on the internet, there is so much, you know, WhatsApp. Oh my God, that is such a harmful thing. And we all belong to WhatsApp groups. And they just flood you with nonsensical information. And, you know, we just absorb it. Like, now we have a WhatsApp group, Gokul group, that is Swamiji from Pennsylvania. Every day he will send you some good sayings. So that group is okay. You know, he'll send you some good messages or some talks by Swami Chinmayananda. And then somehow I made the mistake. One of my class friends from medical school told me, oh, we have a medical group from our medical college, those who graduated. Would you like to belong to that? I, by the mistake, said yes. Oh my God, there's like 40, 50 messages a day, and useless, nonsensical stuff. It's nothing even pertinent, and people expressing their opinion, and people are so opinionated. I'm like, why did I even join? For the last several days, one or two days, I opened it. Now I don't even open it. Let it accumulate, and soon I'll eventually get out. It looks rude to, you know, just these are my medical friends, but slowly I'll get out. At least stop opening that. Let them, you know, keep on talking. 16th is practice self-control. So some amount of self-control I should do. Self-control can be, you know, sensual, like, you know, sex pleasures, food, overeating, drinking too much, talking too much, gossiping too much, overactivity, working too much. So live a life of moderation, live a life of self-control. And if I deviated from my whatever my goal is, then I should, again, same thing. If I have deviated from that, then some amount of punishment for myself. And 17th and 18th are, 17th is I should develop some positive virtues. So decide, okay, for this month, I'm going to practice truth. And for the next month, I'm going to practice love. Then I'm going to practice non-violence. Non-violence is not only physical, but even by speech, even by thought, one can hurt. So develop some positive values that every, this whole month I'm going to practice this, or this whole week. And at the same time, this whole month, if I analyze myself, and if there are some evil habits, I will eradicate them. So develop positive and remove negative. And if I have fallen back into that, I decided I won't get angry, or I won't get, you know, shout at somebody, or I won't get, you know, jealous, or if I have fallen into that trap and developed, not able to eradicate, or by mistake fallen back, then again resolve A, not to do it, and then practice some amount of deprivation. Maybe so if I have done that, so then it reminds you that you should not do that. And then the 19th, of course, is fail control, where I have failed. I had decided to do some self-control. I had to practice some goodness, good qualities, and I failed to do that. So same thing. If I have failed, if I have not done, then A, I should be aware of that. I should be very alert. B, I should resolve not to do it again. And C is some amount of self-punishment. Again, I said it should not be such a horrible punishment that it makes me suffer, but something that will remind me. So consciously developing good habits, avoiding negative habits, and practicing all these qualities every day. And as Swamiji said in his book, you don't have to do all 20. Maybe you can pick 15. But there, a lot of them are connected. So as one becomes alert, then slowly these things become a part of my life. And having that diary, actually, he has given it in the appendix in the end of the book. Actually, Swamiji has made the diary for us. All you have to do is put it on your phone, and then you can check on it with your phone, or you can print it and put it on your fridge, and then just write it every day and each day of the week. So for the first one line, second, so you can do 10 lines in one page, or 20 lines, or 30. And so for the first of the month, did I practice these values? Second of the month, third of the month. So just one line for each date, because all the 20 you can put in one line. And then the last is, what time did I go to bed? So again, that, because going to bed very late, if you go to bed at 12 or 12:30, and then it will be hard to get up before 6, and then obviously that will interfere with your spiritual, because daily meditation is required. And last thing, Swamiji says that every day one should read one chapter. This book has 38 chapters. So read one chapter every day. He recommends reading it before meditation. Just whisper it to yourself, read it softly, and then make that knowledge part of your meditation. Or if somebody finds that they want to directly go into meditation right after they wake up, I like to do that. Soon as I wake up, I just brush my teeth, wash my face, and go to start meditation right away. Then you can do it after meditation if you have time, or at the end of the day before you go to bed at night, so that these thoughts stay with you, and then that can be your topic for meditation. So I have covered these 20 relatively quickly. As I said, go home and please read this particular chapter 26. Read those 20 questions and then think about them, each one of them, question yourself. So spend an hour or two just contemplating upon each question and how does it apply to me. So it will be a longer exercise if you do it on your own. But I think it's beautiful. And as I've said before, maybe do have a monthly reckoning. And then definitely on the 31st of December, how did I live my life for this whole year? And the way I look at it is, am I closer to God now than I was in January 1st? And if I am, then it is good. If I'm close, and if I'm not, then what can I do to get closer? And then that way, then that can be your resolve for the new year, that I should continue my spiritual quest. So I don't keep a formal diary, but it will be good. But I do try to reckon and look back and see how I have lived. And just living a life of alertness, so that the moment you deviate from that straight and narrow path, you become quickly aware of that. Once you have, it's like I have given the example before, somebody has lived in Alaska his whole life and he comes to the Death Valley or Phoenix in the summer, how he's uncomfortable. He wants to go back to his cool weather of Alaska. So similarly, once you have lived a life of peacefulness for a while, and then suddenly something comes to deviate you from it, you get very agitated, very disturbed. I want to go back to my peaceful nature. So practice developing this peacefulness, because I am peace. I am peace, not only peaceful, I am peace. That understanding one should get. And then whenever I deviate from that, it shows up, and then instantly my mind gets disturbed. I got angry, or I didn't tell the truth, or I wasted my time in useless, just surfing the net. And I mean, we all do that. I also sometimes read the AP news once a day, but then from the news, they give you a sub-news and a sub-sub-news, and then you end up getting lost. And then I say, why did I do that? Yeah. And I do that AP because it is relatively neutral. It is neither conservative nor liberal. It just gives the news as it is. Otherwise, if you go to Fox News or you go to MSNBC, they are too much on one side or the other. This just gives the facts. And so once a day I try, and then I skim through the paper in the morning. But then one has to be very cautious, not let your mind. Not that you shouldn't enjoy life. I'm not saying that don't enjoy life, or don't go to a party, or don't go out for dinner, or enjoy an ice cream. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life, but it should be in moderation, and it should be part of my spiritual journey. So thank you very much. Any questions, any comments? Yes.
A great idea, but I'm a little surprised about the self-punishment. It just seems too negative, like recognizing you did something bad, okay, I'm not going to do that again, but to have to actually suffer for it. I think you suffer for it anyway, karmically, right?
Yeah.
So it's sort of a double whammy.
Right, yeah, if you have, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think that kind of bothered me too, so I think for myself, I'm going to call it redirection.
Oh, that's good.
That's what I'm going to do. I don't want to call it, even if he says, that's what I would call it. Redirection. And so it's by giving up something, it's redirecting me.
Right, giving up. Yeah, we're not saying that every time you fast for a whole day, but maybe if you find that you're consistently doing that and deviating, maybe say, okay, tomorrow I'll take a cold shower. Now that will remind you, then you won't do it again. In this winter, if you have to take a shower with cold water, believe me, you will not repeat that. So once in a while, it may be necessary because the mind otherwise says it's okay. It justifies, okay, it's okay once in a while to do it. It's not bad. You know, things like that. But yeah, if you're karmically, if you're able to just mentally correct yourself, that's fine. But some people need that extra little
encouragement,
yes. And it could be just as simple as missing a meal. It's okay, I won't have dinner today, you know. That's not so bad. You know, just have had lunch. I won't have dinner. I'll just go to sleep without dinner. And that's good. And while the time I would have spent in making and eating dinner, I'll chant the name of the Lord or I'll read some good books.
It almost feels like a split personality a little bit. Like you've got the witness telling the mind.
Yes.
Okay, you've been bad, so now this is going to happen. And it's just, it's a little different from my mind around.
Right. But they say that one should live a witness attitude.
Right.
Where if the mind is doing something, I am not the mind. I am watching the mind. And yes, you can even maybe discipline, if you are able to discipline the mind just by correcting the right understanding, that's fine. But if you are not, and if the mind persists in doing the wrong thing, then it may be, you may have to take. It's like a child. You may first talk to the child nicely, tell them lovingly. But if the child persistently misbehaves, it's not that you take a stick and spank him, but doing some time out. You know, maybe sit in the corner for a few minutes or take away his cell phone for a day. You know, we do things like that with our children. You know, if the children don't listen, then sometimes you have no choice. So same thing, our mind is like a child. And it initially, last week we talked about minds, disciplining the mind, taming the mind. And they say it should be done lovingly, it should be done, you know, with correction. But if it doesn't, the child, just as a child, persistently misbehaves, or the mind, even in meditation, is constantly running, not staying still, not listening. So sometimes you may have to do that as a last resort. But yeah, if you don't feel the need, that's okay. It's not obligatory that you have to. But that's what Swamiji says in the book. So I don't do any conscious punishment like that. I don't take a cold shower or deprive myself of food and all. I think most of the time, just being aware of the and then resolving not to do it should be okay once you have understood. Yes.
And then there's some of us, I mean, that's been maybe I don't even like to even use the word sin, but being too hard and you have punishing thoughts towards yourself. That's been mm-hmm. a problem with me. So calling it punishment, that's not
right.
That's not going to direct me to the higher. But I could say, like, you know, I want to reset how I'm eating, so I'm going to fast.
Right.
You know, or
right.
Because I want to redirect that. But it doesn't yes. feel, I don't want to put it in a tone that feels, because it's not really
punitive, yeah.
It's not,
yeah.
It's not lifting me up. So.
Yeah, and most of us some of us are very hard on ourselves.
I'm very hard on myself.
Yeah, and all a lot of us have this.
Right. You know, that's not healthy. It's not healthy.
Right, so then further punishment. Yeah, I'm
sorry. Because we are not that, and then we're not to punish the ego, the body, intellect. We're to accept that that's us and try to raise it, not by, you know, we have to have the same compassion.
Yes.
We can't really be compassionate to others unless we have that same compassion to our body, mind, intellect that we are. And that's what I'm...
Well, yeah, no, that's an excellent point. One has to love oneself. You have to be very compassionate to yourself and understand that I have some physical imperfections, mental and intellectual. And yeah, unless you love yourself, you can't love others. So you have to be kind and compassionate and loving to yourself. But that should not become then an occasion to justify. Yes.
Say, it doesn't mean okay that you go around acting, you know, in a way that's not aligned with the
yes.
Supreme.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you go around, oh, well, you know. I can do anything I want. So
exactly. Right, you know. Right. That's what I meant. So, and that also is loving yourself. When you
right.
want yourself to do the
to
right
do better,
thing,
yeah.
to do better, that is a form of love too. Like you want your child to do well in school and you want him to get a good grade. So you encourage him and you give him all the facilities. And then also also tell him that, okay, tomorrow you have finals, so today you want to go out with your friends, you can't go.
Exactly.
So that's also a form of punishment. He said, oh, all the other kids are going, you are the only one who is not letting me go. You know, they give you a guilt trip like that. But for the good of the child, you might say sometime, okay, today is not a good day to go out for their friends for a movie because you have finals tomorrow and, you know, you have to study, or this weekend you need to limit, you know, your social things. So So that's what I'm saying, encouraging oneself to do better. And like you said, instead of just redirecting, maybe I'm over used to doing, you know, overeating or overindulging or whatever, and turning my mind towards good and encouraging myself to do better. Yes, it can be done in a positive way. It's not truly in a punitive way. But what he says is this way, it reminds you if you have deviated from like an evil habit and you're trying to eradicate. And that would be one of the very good ways to eradicate an evil habit. If I have some bad habit that I'm consistently practicing, and if I happen to indulge in that, some kind of encouragement or whatever you want to call it.
Discouragement.
But yeah, I don't practice all this. I don't punish myself and all. But I do try to discipline myself. Like somebody told me I'm pre-diabetic, and also Swamiji had told me that I should give up sugar. He had told me 2 or 3 times, actually, when we went on the trip east-west, he had told us. And so finally, he has been telling me, and then somebody told me. So I said, okay, this is a good time. So since then, I've completely given up sugar. I don't eat anything sweet. I used to love chocolate with almonds. I would, you know, they have them lying in our surgical center, boxes of them. I just don't touch it. No sweets, no, I go to parties, birthday cake, nothing. I just don't eat sweet. I only have fruits in the morning. And then for my, you know, tea, I have agave nectar or honey in the morning. And that's it. Nothing sweet. I haven't touched in 6-8 months. So it gives you feeling that I can control. And everybody in the party is having, I just say, no, thank you. I don't. Because first of all, Swamiji told me, so there was a higher message. And then somebody told me, you're pre-diabetic. I said, wonderful. So I think we can develop control. And also when problems come, physical problems come, you have some accident or injury or surgery or something, not letting it stop me from doing what I'm supposed to do. No matter what comes, whatever, I never, actually somebody told me that they will write on your tombstone, he never canceled anything. I never did. I'm not trying to boast, but I had knee surgery, and I don't know if it's right or wrong. I had knee surgery one evening. Next morning, I was doing procedures. I did my endoscopy. I said, why would I want to cancel? And they were taking me in a wheelchair. So they would take me to the procedure. I would do the procedure, and then I would go to the desk and dictate. And she even took me to the bathroom and waited outside. So I believe I had a very painful surgery where I was having a lot of pain and problems. I never canceled a single class, meditation class, Gita. I couldn't sit. It was a very, very painful surgery. And somebody told me, that's when they told me, they said they're going to write on your tombstone, he never canceled anything. I'm not trying to boast, but I'm just telling you that's how I believe that physical problems will come and mental problems will come, but it's very easy to excuse, okay, I'll cancel it. It's okay, I don't need to do it. It's not that important. Or what's wrong with canceling once in a while? You know, we always justify, it's okay once in a while to cancel, is okay. But I believe that if you have taken a responsibility, do it. But I think I go to the other extreme. That's what Neeru says. He says, doing surgery, I mean, doing scopes after a knee surgery, you know, I don't agree with that. But that's how I am. I think I go to the other extreme. I'm more strict with myself than I should be.
So I think having compassion is always good as long as it doesn't become complicity.
Yes.
As long as you...
You
recognize
complacent. Yeah, complacency, right. Yeah, it's okay. You know, it's okay.
Yeah.
Being kind to yourself is good, but then, yeah. But not that I am same in all the ways. You know, physically, I'm strict with myself, but maybe in other things, I'm not as much. You know, emotionally or intellectually, when I diverge, I'm not that strict. But I'm just, you know, giving you an example of this. That's how I live my life. I don't know if it's good or bad. You probably don't agree with it, but it's not a punishment. It's control, self-control, that if I have decided, made an appointment, you know, these things should not interfere. I mean, you brought up the subject, so I, you know, not that I'm trying to brag or boast. I'm just, yeah, I'm just telling you what, how I believe, what I believe, how I live my life. You might say it's foolish, but.
It's been great for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Anything else?
There's an author that says, you know, the best times to meditate.
Yes.
Is in the twilight, right before sunrise. Sunset.
Yes.
That's the, Wayne Dyer called it the gap.
Right.
And here we honor it with, you know, Om, gap or space, you know, mm-hmm. silence, Om, and that's the best time.
Yes.
That's when miracles are, you know, that's our things.
Right. Now that, you know, that's right. Now before sunrise, would be, you know, 4:30 to 6. Because the sun rises sometime around 6:30. So before 6, if you are going to meditate for an hour, and then yes, sunset is a good time. Yeah. In fact, the TM people, Transcendental, they recommend meditating twice a day. But right after sunset is a little difficult for us because it is dinner time. You know, so you are going home making dinner. So before you go to bed, if you can do that for a half an hour or so, so your mind is quiet. Or even lie down in your bed and, as I said, make it a meditative sleep. What I try to do is close my eyes, relax my body from head to toe, observe my breath, watch the breath, and then chant, you know, the mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, as I breathe. So then that becomes 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever time it takes you to fall asleep can be meditative. So whatever works. But yeah, the sunrise and sunset is good. Okay,
there's one here that really is, I think, is missing, and that's being gratitude.
Yes.
That this one says, the secret says that.
Yes.
That's the greatest prayer that one can get, being grateful.
Yes.
You start, like you say, like a prayer.
Right.
Get up in the morning. I'm grateful for, you know, you start naming
them. Right. Now that's a very good point. I agree. Gratitude is good. One should do that, even whether it's not in those 20 or not, but attitude of gratitude. In fact, George Johnson, some of you know him, he used to come regularly with his wife. He moved to the coast and he does that. He starts his meditation with gratitude for 5 minutes. He looks for things to be grateful for. So I have a little new technique to meditate on. So if we can, let's first just do the breathing and then we can put off the lights. So this I have found helps me a lot. So every morning, here we do 3 times, but at home you can do 5, 7 in each nostril, you know, up to 9. That's what. So through the left nostril, in and out 3 times deeply. And pause between inspiration and expiration. And then again, expiration and inspiration. And what I do is I chant my mantra, Om, as I breathe in. Om Namah Shivaya. Breathe in and out. So you can pick a mantra. So, pause, hum, like that. So make that a part of your mantra. Breathe in and out through the left nostril. And chant your mantra as you do that, mentally. Slow and deep. Now the right nostril, slow and deep. Now breathe in through the left, out through the right. in through the right, out through the left. Let's do it maybe 5 times. Bring your arms down and relax your body from head to toe. Body relaxed. Attention on the breath. Let us surrender. Practice surrender. Surrender to the Almighty Lord. All my problems, conflicts, relationships, difficulties, I surrender to you, Almighty Lord. I'm riding the boat of this body in this world, which is like an ocean. Ocean is full of waves, conflicts, problems. I surrender my body to you, be the boatsman, and safely guide me to the other shore, beyond this ocean of problems, to the shore of peace and compassion and oneness and charity and love. O Lord, I alone am not capable of doing this. Only you can do that. So please be my boatman. In any case, whatever I am doing is your grace. But I have this feeling that I am doing it, or it's mine. Let me not have that. So just surrender. Just surrender. Just surrender.